A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show! Hello and welcome. It's the One Show, which is a podcast that works its way through a week's worth of the BBC's flagship early evening bottom shelf magazine show in much the same way as a butcher might work his or her way through the carcass of a pig. I am John Holmes, and once again we've been watching The One Show with eyes that can never become fully accustomed to it because it holds us in its grip. And a grip that this week included a Joey Deacon impression on primetime television, a demonstration of how to knife someone to death on primetime television, and a man sniffing a turtle's head. Joining me to celebrate all that and more is regular The One Show, Mark Haynes, an actress?
I don't care.
I don't either. Writer, host of the new excellent podcast, Ask the Nincompoops, it's Carrie Quinlan.
Yeah. Okay. Woo!
Clap.
Do you know, I genuinely Googled whether or not these days we can say actor or actress, because I thought, I wrote it down and then thought, I don't know anymore, because on a daily basis, this stuff changes.
Yeah, it's something that worried me for a bit because I get corrected whichever one I use. I tend to say actor, but I know lots of female actors that I admire object to actress, but then there are other people who quite like and have sort of reappropriated actress.
Yes.
And frankly, I think there are more things in the world to give a shit about.
Thank you.
I am so woke that I refer to all actors and actresses as male actresses.
Why can't people just be like the advertising industry and call us meat puppets or warm props?
I'm going to call them all transtresses.
God.
I think, well, because that's not going to cause any problem whatsoever.
Thank God that we don't have a dedicated Twitter account where people can now send us problematic texts from dusk till dawn. Thanks, John. Thank you.
You're right. I'm not Graham Linehan. Right.
I'd like to disassociate myself from most of the things John is going to say.
From now on. That's a wise move.
And before.
You've known me for a long time.
A long time.
You know what's going to happen.
It's like 20 years.
It is, isn't it? Oh, we should have had this conversation in the pub earlier, not here.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
But what I like is that our sort of 20-year friendship has culminated in me forcing you to watch The One Show.
Yes. I think we all three of us know that this is where it was heading, even before The One Show existed.
What did you start with this week? Was it Monday?
I was telling a mate of mine on Monday that I was coming on this, and I've never seen The One Show before. And I said, I'm quite excited I get to watch The One Show. Not that I had been prevented from watching it before. I had been allowed to. I just hadn't. And she said, oh, it's like Blue Peter for grown-ups. I thought, why the fuck haven't I been watching this show?
The problem
that
is...
it sounds brilliant.
It's not really like Blue Peter for grown-ups. It's just like Blue Peter.
It sort of is, but without... there's something crucial missing.
Yeah. Well, instead of making things like advent calendars or things out of sticky back plastic and old cardboard toilet rolls, they make what they call films.
Yeah. They also, I mean, you talk about like sticky back plastic. They love to talk about plastic.
Oh, don't they though?
There was one this week. I don't know if you saw it.
Go on.
Lucy Siegel was talking about the fact that crisp packets cannot be recycled. There's been a petition that was set up by a guy from Wales. His name is Geraint. And he set it up. He said, he admitted.
You said Geraint like Tony the Tiger would.
He's great.
He wasn't. He was actually, if anything, he's ill. Geraint set up a petition, he said, to work out why crisp packets weren't recyclable. He mentioned he set it up when he was ill and really bored. Anyway, walkers have had to really take this on board. Loads of people have been sending crisp packets back through the post to sort of go deal with this.
To the point where
Royal Mail had to say, stop sending crisp packets
can
through the post.
Can you put them in envelopes, please?
Yeah. Do you remember when we were younger, you used to send off crisp packets for kids who weren't well? It would be in the paper where they'd say, he wanted to get 1 million crisp packets. And they'd go... he's now 24, he's fully recovered, and we still get 6 bin bags full of crisp packets a day.
Sorry, what? No, I don't recall.
This is a big thing that people
I remember milk bottle tops to Blue Peter, the aforementioned, but I don't remember sending crisp packets to ill children. What are they going to do, lick the dust from them?
And he basically wanted to get Christmas cards 1 year, and there was some kind of appeal that might have been on Blue Peter. He occasionally gets interviewed, and he's like, I still get about 24,000 Christmas cards every year. Please stop sending them. But there was a big thing about sending crisp packets to sick kids. I don't know who set this up. It's not like they're accepted
by doctors. Let's do it again!
Yeah. It's Gary Lineker, isn't it? Yeah. He hates kids.
They mentioned walkers had really sort of worked hard to try and work out how to recycle. They mentioned they talked to 7 crisp manufacturers and 3 of them had not replied. And the One Show is always really proud when it says we contacted them and they ignored us totally.
Yeah.
It's not a badge of pride. But they went to the Walkers one, and the Walkers people had been chipping these old crisp packets. And the man held up a little bit of plastic and he went, there you go, we can now make things out of this like benches and flower pots. Still a load of plastic, isn't it?
What I like most about this is that the presenter was called...
Lucy Siegel.
And it's seagulls that are affected by this stuff, so no wonder she's interested.
Oh, vested interest.
All stuck in her beak.
There was a great bit at the end of the film where they cut Lucy Siegel's belly open and loads of plastic came out. It was... absolutely moving.
Yeah, well, a lot of things were moving this week. Monday, now it started with a very excited Matt Baker, didn't it? Because he got very into dad jokes.
Yeah, and he told some and it was great. And Angela, who was...
Angela Scanlon.
Angela Scanlon, fell for the oldest knock-knock poo joke in the world.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with
that? Please demonstrate.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
I done up. No, you did a thing. Oh, yeah. Damn it. No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
40-year career in entertainment.
I don't know how a knock-knock joke structure works.
It's all right. It's my fault. I got it wrong. My classic was I done up. He uses I need up.
All right. Let's do it again.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
I need up.
I need a poo.
Oh, you need a poo. Yeah.
And the audience of the One Show laughed.
Oh,
I mean, the camera crew.
Blue Peter for adults.
Yeah. How do you fall for that?
But that turned into one of their, as we'd expect, request for a...
send in a photo of your dad having a shit.
Needing a shit.
You know who you are.
It's pre-war. Oh, they did a great You Know Who You Are. You were telling me about You Know Who You Are last week.
You know who you are.
Seen it before, and it just sounds like the most brilliant. It sounded like the most brilliant thing. I thought it's not going to live up to that.
Go on.
And it was one where they showed a picture of the lady and gave her name and then said, you know who you are. And It was
for
magical.
For first time listeners to this, we should point out this: they're very excited on the One Show about this new feature where they identify someone who's done a good deed somewhere in the nation who perhaps didn't get thanked at the time.
And the first week it worked. Week it really worked. Oh, yeah. It was an anonymous person who had paid for someone's meal at a Morrison's cafe.
That's right.
And nobody knew who that person was.
Given that you're listeners and not watchers listening, it's very much like Saturday Live and Radio 4 have a thing called Thank You. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly and probably ripped off from that.
Yes. But what was awkward about this week's, I think, was they're still laughing at the need a poo joke. Right? Which they just
So am I. Yeah. Clearly.
And then they just said, you know who you are, and thank you to a whole community. A whole community, a family of a young deaf boy, right? And the moment they said that, the laughter's still on. As it often is on the tube, just going, the poo joke. A deaf boy, he's like, oh. shut that. Floor manager waving arms, just shut this down. Shut this down. Anyway, he's a 10-year-old. He had his hearing aid ripped out and stamped on by a group of older children. They're still laughing in the background. You can still sort of hear them.
Hey, they know who they are. This feature works on both for good and bad.
Oh. But anyway, they got a plot. Good, because the community's rallied round. They've helped him out. They've got a new hearing aid. Everyone's
you know who they are. But it was just it was beautiful that they said. And this was organised by Michelle Manson. Big picture of her. Did she send it in? I think she might have sent it in. And then immediately after that, you know who you are. Yes, Michelle Manson. She looks like that.
Angela Scanlon on this week. I noticed a tweet which was sent to the One Show. It's from Clarissa. It says, Alex and Matt are weak presenter. Why should we licence fee payers pay £500,000 respectively salaries to useless presenters? Angela is fantastic. I really like Angela Scanlon.
Yeah,
she was really good. I don't know what she does when she's not doing the One Show, but she should be doing the One Show.
The moment that I loved her more this week was, and we'll get to this early, right? This was the One Show went a little bit controversial this week.
She stabbed the actress Maisie Williams
in the throat. Yes. That's right.
She was too good at that.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I love Angela Scanlon because she's having to play along here. Now, it backfired a bit, didn't it? Because they had Maisie Williams on. This was on Tuesday
show, yeah.
Who was talking about a new play she's in. Maisie Williams, obviously, off of Game of Thrones. She's funny. I think she's funny, she's engaging, not showbiz. She just tells it like it is. And obviously, she's been doing this since she was like 11 or 12 or something. And now she's, 19, 20?
21, I think, yeah.
Game of Thrones. You know, and she's great. She's really funny. So they got this whole sequence where Angela Scanlon had to learn how to stab at 7 o'clock on BBC One. And what was interesting about it...
In London.
Yeah. What was interesting about it was that Angela Scanlon said, well, you're very good with knives.
Yeah.
On the programme Game of Thrones, that is true. They took her over to the other side of the studio where Dave, we've met Dave before.
Yeah, this time Dave was in a suit of armour.
Correct.
Is he
hiding
Mr.
his
Ben?
Face?
He's
one of the few collaborators on the One Show who this programme has identified. So we will eventually, like Simon Wiesenthal, we will one day track Dave down. Dave needs to know that his crimes will not go unpunished.
So are we essentially the resistance?
I think we probably are.
We are. Let me make it clear. That was not a threat.
Can I be Michelle?
I'm not Angela Scanlon armed with a knife. What I am is saying when Dave comes to trial, it will be in a recognised court.
Of this podcast.
Of this podcast, yeah. which does carry the death sentence.
So she walked over. Maisie Williams then demonstrated how Maisie Williams had learned to juggle a knife and flip a knife from one hand to the other during the production of Game of Thrones.
Top tip, kneel down so you can pick it up quicker.
Nice.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But they didn't mention that the knives they were playing with were props.
Okay. Yeah. And so then, to actually use that in action,
yeah. So you flick from this hand to this hand because I'm going to go for your dagger hand.
Right.
But you're going to flip it at the last minute. Ooh. And then you can...
And then stab you. Okay.
One, two, three. Oh!
Wonderfully done. Wonderfully done. I quite enjoyed that. Is that okay?
Now, they looked real.
Yeah.
They didn't say they were rubber. They didn't say they were plastic. They don't like plastic.
No.
We used this earlier to stab the Seagull Woman presenter to death and cut her stomach open. They were throwing knives around. And then there was literally a demonstration, Carrie, of how one person should kill another.
By flipping the knife into your other hand.
Yeah.
And then jabbing it right into their throat.
Jabbing it, yeah.
All at 7 o'clock on BBC One. Now, there was a tweet, because I'm assuming, I'm just guessing, some viewers may have found that offensive.
John, some of the viewers who found it offensive would also contact this show, not realising they'd got the wrong Twitter handle.
Let me read out the one show's... This was before I'd watched it. So this came out on Tuesday night, straight after the one show was broadcast. I only watched it on the Wednesday, but because I read this tweet from the BBC's one show account, I was so looking forward to this programme. Thanks for all your comments on tonight's show. The knife demonstration of how to kill someone on set was with plastic knives and was very much pretend. Yes, because you jabbed it into Maisie Williams' throat and she didn't die. So we've established that. And in the context of Maisie's character on Game of Thrones. However, we accept that it struck a wrong note with some viewers. Yes, because you were demonstrating how to correctly stab someone at 7 o'clock. Let the children watch this. And even I, as a think it's funny, was thinking my children, they don't, but they could watch it. And then they might go into the kitchen, pick up a knife and go, oh, I'll just juggle that about on my knees.
Yeah.
I drop it and stab someone in the throat.
I mean, Cindy, once they'd made the apology, Cindy, who I think her Twitter handle was not just a granny.
I think she might be just a granny, though.
I think she probably is. You can lie about what you are online.
It's like Democratic Republic
she
of Congo,
wrote, and
isn't it?
Why in God's name are you even using plastic? Come on. You're settling a precedent for people. Step up. She meant setting. It's funny that when people nowadays apologise, people just use the apology to, rather than just sort of go, oh yeah, okay, well that's over, fair enough. The amount of people who use the apology to go, you disgust me. You think apologising is going to get you out of this? You used a plastic knife on Maisie Williams, the actress, and she's now dead.
What did you make of it, Carrie?
Seagull lady.
Were you impressed with the juggling of the knife, or did
I loved it. Yeah, when you talked about the dangerous knife stuff, I was thinking, I don't think I saw that one, but I did, and I just really enjoyed it. I didn't even notice it as being a bad thing. Yeah. It was just really exciting.
I just noticed it was a bad thing because I knew what would happen, not because I felt that it was a bad thing. I just thought, oh, this is going to be great, because I, you know, some other tweets that came in were things like, I have absolutely no problem with that segment. Obviously plastic and two people.
Mm.
They're talking about Matt and Angela. Very irresponsible, says Anne Marie Banks on Twitter. And insensitive, given the family viewing slot. We hear of victims on a daily basis. Not something to make light of. Barbara Liddell, not your finest hour. Seriously, I've lost the name there. People are complaining about knives. I'd be more worried about Scanlan's hair.
Wow.
This actually, for me, saved a show that was so boring otherwise. They had some of the worst VTs they've ever done. There was, Matt trailed it at the top. We're going to go live to a sleepover for 11-year-olds. Oh. And our cameras are there every step of the way.
Tonight, one show viewer, Claire, lays on a sleepover for 11. 11? 11 11-year-olds. And our cameras are there every step of the way.
What are we doing here?
What is this?
What
have
are
they
we
run out
doing?
Of the films on the shelf about fish? Because every other week, it's a film about fish in Scotland.
Yeah. They are obsessed with
every
fish.
Every week. And then suddenly...
Yeah.
There's a film about 11-year-olds having a sleepover.
Yeah.
Do you know what I thought? Do you know what I thought? I thought, well, obviously, Claire Scantlebury, who is putting on this sleepover for her daughter and 11 friends, she is going to do something really clever with this, and we're going to be like, what an amazing creative lady. No, she just had a sleepover. They filmed it. It's 2:30 and the kids have just gone to bed. And that was it. It was like being the murderer in a slasher film. So there's loads of, sort of weird shots from a high angle of a load of people getting ready for bed.
But also, they're 11!
I know!
Yeah. What are you doing?
A totally irresponsible piece.
It was entirely like being a mum at a sleepover, in that she walked downstairs at 2 o'clock going, seriously, just, you know, shut up.
Yeah, that was the big dramatic moment.
Please, just, I mean it.
My favourite bit was one of the mums they talked to, and they said, so what do you think about Claire doing the sleepover for 11 kids?
But what do the other parents think?
I think Claire's crazy because she's got too many.
Yeah, she fucked off.
She ran.
But, have my kid, I'm going.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Try and save some of her limbs. I'll pick her up in the morning.
Also, Claire had planned stuff. Don't.
Oh, the bet.
It was all like everything was laid out for them to do their nails and
foot bath.
Get a cup of foot bath. Yeah, just Stick a fucking film on. And go upstairs and stick your own film.
Yeah. 10:30 she did the film.
Well, no wonder they were awake at half two. No, please, just go to sleep.
This went out on BBC One. We got a recap of a sleepover from North Lincoln. What are we doing?
Why?
What is this?
We didn't learn. Lord John Reith and his education, entertainment, and the other one, right? We got none of it from this. I didn't learn anything. I wasn't entertained particularly.
I think as well, the other TV rule, which is don't film children going to bed. Don't put it out on television. No.
Yeah, don't do creepy time-lapse on 11-year-old girls sleeping.
No, having a little bit of a pillow fight in a prepubescent... No, it was just wrong. The stress of organising a children's party, they said at the top of it, is awful for parents. And they said 11-year-olds are going round to Claire's house in North Lincoln. So our cameras are there every step of the way. Oh, right, because that doesn't make it more stressful. That really helps.
Yeah. Credit to the dad. Respect the dad. They just said, it's all girls, so dad. Dad's going to have a sleepover of his own, and he was literally out the door within 2 seconds of the thing.
One shot of him.
Because it's 1955. It was extraordinary. I'm surprised he wasn't in a bowler hat with an umbrella. Just going, well, this looks like ladies' time. Goodbye. Yeah.
With a voiceover that's going, I expect he's going to get a text about how the printer works before he goes to bed.
Well, then they used that to get in, you know, they showed a bit of that, they talked about it, and then they said, now, our guest wasn't much older than one of those girls. Here comes a handbrake turn. Everybody, our guest tonight wasn't that much older than one of those girls when she made her debut. It's Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, and there she was on the sofa.
I actually thought, very funny.
I've
not seen her out of Game of Thrones, so I didn't realise in a really stupid, ignorant way that she's grown up at the same rate as all the other humans on Earth. And so I did look at her and I thought, who's this? This isn't Maisie Williams. And I'm looking at her going, familiar. But what she looked like was Maisie Williams' older sister.
Yeah.
Because Maisie Williams has aged, naturally.
That's right.
There was an even better handbrake turn later on, though.
Go on.
There was a VT about people's homes being knocked down.
They stuck a camera in a lift.
Oh, yeah. Which also not at all creepy. So this was, you know, Tuesday, I'm guessing, is voyeur day. On the one show. So let's watch some children sleep and then stick a camera in a lift.
To watch some people pissing and wanking in an Enfield high-rise.
Getting off with each other.
Credit to the one man who looked at the camera and he just went, you'll get these robbed if you leave them in here. Believe, he said.
So it's these high-rises in Enfield that are going to get knocked down for redevelopment, and there's going to be much less social housing. And it's a very sad thing for lots of the residents. And it was very quite heartbreaking, VT. And they came out of it in quite a heartbreaking moment. And Angela, who clearly hadn't been watching, went, I loved that. Now... And then now, sleepovers.
Oh, she was on form this week because there was also a VT, possibly same episode, about a woman who'd lost her husband because he had Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yes. Was this Everton?
Everton, yeah.
Everton Football Club are helping people of their community. They're putting money back in the community. Beautiful film, actually. Really nice.
Yeah.
Really touching. Yeah. She'd lost her husband, but he was a huge Everton supporter. She hadn't been able to go back to the ground since he died. But Everton's community outreach funding has enabling people to sort of, you know, use the club as a social tool, really, to get back on their feet and all the rest.
Credit to them as well. Yeah. I did have a quick look, and it's like the cheapest adult ticket to go and see Everton is £38.
Yeah.
So every time they are at home, considering there are tickets that are a lot more than that and there are tickets for kids that are a bit lower, when it sells out, you're looking at £1.5 million. And that happens for half of the year. And you do think, well, isn't it about time everyone put a little bit more back?
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of clubs do a lot for the community, but I thought this was a really, really nice little piece.
I did. I thought really it was good. One of the most... I learned a lot. We talk about what we learned from the show, and I thought, oh, I didn't... I had no idea this was going on.
Yeah.
And they're expanding it, and they're doing things for all members of the community, aren't they? I mean, this was remarkable. And this woman had lost her... I've forgotten her name. Hang on, I did write it down.
Carla Lane?
No.
Liva Bird?
I mean, literally, I didn't write it down. Anyway, so...
Linda McCartney.
Yes, that's right. She was called Linda McCartney.
Linda McCartney used to be something that people would say at school if you've been stupid. So if you'd got something wrong, they'd go, Linda McCartney. And so with John not having the name and you saying, fucking Linda McCartney. It threw me straight back. Right? I am back at Grimsdyke.
It wasn't called Grimsdyke. That's a primary school from a sitcom. From the 60s.
The headmistress was called Mrs. Heller.
I've just written the word widow. So I apologise.
Widow McCartney.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a lovely film, right? So they'd hooked her up with Tommy. Now, Tommy...
Oh, you remember his name?
Yeah.
Sexist.
I've just written bloke. They hooked her up with bloke. Where he also has dementia. Mm. But he's not dead. So they've sent her to watch Everton with him. The memories for both are wonderful. And they're funding it and all the rest of it. So there was a really weird moment when the guy presenting it...
Kevin Duala.
Thank you. I'd just written bloke again.
I'd written a professional Liverpoolian, Kevin Duala.
Yeah, I'll do.
Liverpool supporter.
Yeah, Everton supporter. Very...
No, Liverpool.
He wasn't. He was Liverpool supporter.
He was a bit shirty
about it.
Yes, he was. And they made him do the Everton... Sorry, you're absolutely right, because he was secretly wearing a red shirt.
Yeah.
That's right. The husband, when he was alive, used to make anyone who came in wearing red use the back door. He wouldn't let them through the front
door. That's right, yes.
I believe the husband's name was P.W. Boater?
I'm glad we've all made notes of the names. I think this is very important. But the
famously married to Linda McCartney.
But older, and I've written it here, What's-Her-Face Scanlon said in this touching film where it ended, didn't it, with them watching Everton, both Widow and Tommy were cheering on Everton, and that's lovely, right? And it came back, and Scanlon...
Yes, this is brilliant. This is brilliant.
Just went... Can't believe Everton lost on penalties.
Yes.
Just undermining the whole.
They didn't.
That's not what it was about.
They didn't put the result in because it wasn't the result the film wanted. Don't then ruin it.
And she did.
Nothing to do with one show, but it reminded me of the show years and years ago, Field of Dreams was on telly. And at the very end, I can't tell this without ruining Field of Dreams. Move on.
Well, Field of Dreams
Field of Dreams, Carrie, has been watched. It's
been out long enough. Right.
This is one of those spoiler things where we go, it's fine.
So it ends very movingly with Kevin Costner playing catch with the ghost of his father. It's which makes more sense.
Oh, I won't be watching that then.
No, me either.
It's really beautiful, and I was quite tearful in it because it's just so lovely. And the credits started, and the continuity announcer came on and went, if only. It's like,
the Angela Scanlon of continuity announcing there, ruining what's gone before. That VT in the lift, though, to go back to that, was when they even introduced it and said, so what, it came out of nowhere, didn't it? Sort of, well, what we've done, we've put some cameras in a lift.
We've talked about Matt Baker, that in this, he reminded me of someone else, and it's the first time I've seen it. It's like Alan Partridge. So he did a voiceover on this, and it was like an Alan Partridge TV pitch. We stick a camera in a lift, and people will tell us their life stories. With him sort of going over, it wasn't all plain sailing. This guy didn't enjoy it. It was like, I'm listening to Pear Tree Productions. It was excruciatingly bad.
Others have been leaving food for the birds.
Anyway, that one that came up close was awful. Whoops, oh, crikey, what have I done?
Not everyone is so chatty, though.
We are going to the church, we're going to serve God, we're going to pray. So this is our life.
And some believe our experiment is a risky one.
You'll get these rods if you leave them in here. Leave.
I mean, they were saying, you know, we're going to film what goes on in this lift in a tower block in Enfield. And I'm thinking, you're just going to... Imagine the edit.
Yeah.
All I was thinking was, OK, what you've got are some people who've taken this on board who live in that tower block. Right, and they've gone, we're going to church, one family said, and we're going to do this. The other family said, we've got a football, we're doing... But obviously, the idea of this is people shooting up.
Yeah.
It's people who've watched the one show the night before who are now stabbing each other because of it. In the lift, pissing in the corner.
Also, the other thing they did was they picked out on people going, oh, looks like he didn't want to chat. Well, do you know what? Leave him alone.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't engage with it.
The guy who didn't chat, they must have made sign, you know, behind the scenes TV stuff.
Yeah.
He signed a release form.
Yeah.
You can't put someone on television, speaking or otherwise, unless it's journalistic, but this wasn't, unless they sign a form saying they are happy to be broadcast on television.
I have a vague recollection that the one show is grouped under BBC News. I think it might be included in the BBC's news output.
Really?
So let's double check that. That might be absolute nonsense, but I have
so a theoretically, you can just film someone.
Because you couldn't say it was entertainment.
It's just too informative.
You might as
for
well
that.
Call it winter fucking sports. It's got nothing in common with it.
The fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of going out. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes. We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove and Agnew Parling got shot in the face with a paintball. In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Rule of Three, a podcast about comedy. I'm Joel Morris.
I'm Jason Hazley.
And as usual, we're joined by someone who makes comedy to talk about something funny that they love.
Martin's voice
really
jumped up
just
onto
emerged.
My back and sneaked round to the side of my neck and went down my throat and then came out again. And suddenly, there he was.
I think I'm the only scaffolder or ex-scaffolder to have been on a BAFTA type stage.
There's more money in faces.
There's more money in faces, but there's no control. That's what I like.
I can't control your face.
I can't control where I put my face.
And Rory sort of pitched to James, can flute be the last word? Because I think that's the funniest word to end on. And James went, I know it is, and that's why I don't want it to be at the end.
But there's this idea that there's a limited amount of space for funny. It's like when men think they have to go out with someone who's not funny. As if, like, but if she's funny, what'll I do? You're like, you'll both laugh! You will both have a laugh!
We were talking about Al Murray on the programme.
Yeah.
Because he was on Monday's programme. Promoting, by the way, his show, which he got the title of wrong when promoting it. So they said, so what's your... No, let's get into this, how they got into it, actually. They got into it with a film of a lazy Gary Barlow.
Right.
So Gary Barlow, off of Take That. They wanted to do a film about Gary Barlow's addiction to food. That's what they said. Now, this is obviously to promote Gary Barlow's new book that's just come out.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, brilliant, show us a picture when he was fat, because I love those pictures of Gary Barlow, because he's almost unrecognisable. And the journey Barlow took from fat guy to what he is now, to me, is incredible, because he gives us all hope.
Yeah.
Right? As somebody who would just go, how did he do that? Because Gary Barlow is fucking gorgeous, right? I mean, now, you just go, wow. When he fell from the Take That and was angry at Robin or something, pictures of him at the time were of a massive fat bloke.
He's having an Indian summer of sexuality.
Yeah, and I look at him now and I just go, he has grown into middle age perfectly, Gary Barlow. Yes. He looks stunning, right? And I just go, how the fuck did you do that? And so I'm watching this film going, tell me about your berries. Tell me about your granola, Gary. And he did. Didn't let me down. But here's the thing. He said, when I was like at my fattest and all the rest of it, I couldn't leave the house. I was embarrassed. People were shouting, Robbie's doing all right at me. And I, you know, it was awful. And I'm addicted to food. And he talked, you know, openly about that. He was saying, you know, but I wouldn't leave the house. I wouldn't leave the house to do anything. And I'm sort of looking at it going, they filmed this in your house, right? any other guest would have turned up on the green sofas, Gary.
Right, yeah.
You are in your own house, not leaving your house. What's going on here?
Oh.
But still, you're gorgeous. Still, Gary Barlow looks good.
Oh, see, all I could think of was somewhere in a production meeting, they thought, right, we want to talk to Gary Barlow about his food addiction. Where should we film it? His kitchen. let's do it in his kitchen.
Yeah. There's actually an important point about the guests coming in, because I've noticed this week, a lot of the people I've seen, Ruth Jones was on, Maisie Williams,
yep.
They're all promoting theatre work. Mm. And that is the hard sell. Oh. But you can see that Gary Barlow doesn't need to come in. So they'll send a thing and he'll go, well, I'll give you an hour. But you don't want to sit around for, you know, watching these bloody VTs on, you know, Corf Castle or whatever they've got on that week. You know, I think if you're a big enough star, you can stay home. That, for me, is the rule of thumb. If you appear live on The One Show, your star is on the wane.
Important to point out, though, that Ruth Jones and Maisie Williams aren't appearing in theatre. They're appearing in stage plays, as they put it on The One Show, in a way that I don't think they know what one is. It was amazing just to watch them go, so you're in a stage play. You could see them what not, and then they'd say, you know, what's it called, what's it about, and you could see them want to say, what is that?
They do often ask, the question they ask is, they sort of go, so is it a lot of fun to do? And they don't want to know what it's about or whether they'd enjoy it. They're just like, you know, tell us, is there something funny that's happened to you where you fell off the stage, you know?
Yeah, they're not interested in the story at all. Al Murray, though, was on to promote his TV show, which he said was called Why Does Everybody Hate the English? It's on the History Channel or something, I think.
Yeah.
But the graphic came up as he was talking with a different title. It was why, not massively, but it was Why Does Everyone Hate the English? And that got me thinking for the rest of that interview. Why have they said everyone, not everybody? Why does he not know the title of the programme he's promoting? Or is that just a slip of the tongue? And that just obsessed me for the rest of the interview. Really irrationally. I'm sort of going, what's the difference between everybody and everyone? And I still don't know. I still don't know why they went for one or the other and he went for the other.
No,
is
there some poetry we're missing to one of them?
Yeah. Why do we have both those words? Don't they mean exactly the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
From now on, no one's to use everybody. That's gone.
Mm.
And also, everybody is body shaming, probably.
I agree.
In the modern world.
What about people without bodies, John?
Yeah, what about them, eh?
Oh, this has got a bit Breitbart.
Anton de Gun, the French who used to do Eurotrash.
The French.
Yeah. Anton de Gun,
We haven't got rid of the word man.
The French body.
We got rid of everybody.
The French body who used to present.
Let me just say to you this sentence, because I loved it when Al said it and there was an awkward reaction in the studio. He just went, Anton de Gun is a sex demon. There was a frisson.
That's a headline you don't want to read about yourself. It really is.
Normally that's preceded by the words Sean Walsh, I think.
Those bits are lovely. The accidental swears or the near misses were just brilliant. There was an Angela Scanlon near miss on Monday. Al Murray was talking about being partly Irish and he made a joke about Angela Scanlon, who is Irish, possibly being Irish. Pointed at her ginger hair and she said, I've got it stamped on my
Alex said one of my absolute favourite things today. Imagine if you're a visiting Hollywood star. Well, I mean, you didn't have one of those. You have Gerald Butler. But he was sitting there and they did the intro. So this was Tuesday's show. John Richardson was presenting with Alex.
This was Friday.
Last Friday's. Of course it was, because Gerald Butler ended up ordering a takeaway for someone.
Yep, as is the Friday feature.
Oh, it's an excruciating bit.
Wow.
But they opened up by saying, so he's joining us here. He's got his new film out. It's called Hunter Killer. Please welcome Gerald Butler. And there was a pause and Alex just went, now there's a fly in the studio. I don't know if anyone else can see it, but there's a fly in the studio. We'll get that out. Now, Gerard.
Oh, no, it's Gerard.
Please welcome Gerard Butler.
Good to see you.
There's a fly in the studio.
I know.
I don't know whether people at home can see it, but there's a fly.
So John Richardson then asked a question and he said, so you got injured on the set of something. And Gerard Butler went, no. He said, no, it wasn't on the set. It was a sort of, and it's a bit sort of muddy, the whole thing. And Alex, poster fly thing, said, now, Gerard, there's a softer part of you. You went to Bulgaria. You saw a little doggy and you thought, I love this little doggy. That's a verbatim question.
But see, you did show your softer side, Gerard, in Bulgaria as well, didn't you? Because, you know, this all-action hero that you're supposed to be, and then you saw a little doggy, and then you thought, I love this doggy.
You saw a little doggy, and you thought, I love this little doggy. Possibly a BBC News production. Possibly. Gerard Butler was good on this. He is, I think he's known for being a great guest.
He is.
In that he's always sort of like, oh, whatever, you know, just it washes over, it's all fun. And he did this feature, which I don't know if you've seen, Carrie. You have to have watched it on a Friday.
Right.
They get a celebrity to order a takeaway for one lucky recipient. The recipient doesn't have any contact with the celebrity at any point.
And can the celebrity pick what the takeaway is?
I think they get told. But they've introduced an element of fun to it. So Gerard Butler's new film is about... No. Gerard Butler's new film is about him being, I think, a naval nuclear submarine captain. And they said, we want to get as many naval terms into the order as possible. And he basically had it written down on a script. And it was a bit odd because there were some of them were phrases I'd not heard of. So he'd sort of ring up and he'd go, "Hey, is that the Peking Moon Chinese restaurant?" And they'd go, "Yes, it is, yes." And he'd go, "Well, I'd like to make an order, Sea Daddy." The word Sea Daddy appeared on the thing. Sea Daddy. So he went through and he was all like, "I don't want you, where's he from?"
I've got no idea.
No one knows.
He's sort of from LA, Scotland.
Yeah,
so
I think that's about right.
I would like to order. He said,
"That's Anton de Gill again.
A lot of poppadoms, not too many. I don't want them racking out." And the person on the other end of the line, you can hear them sort of go, whatever, you know. But it ended with him going, "Scuttlebutt, have you got all that?" But because they're talking to people who are working in the fast food industry, a lot of these people have English as a second, maybe third language.
Yeah.
And all I think is they just ring up and they go, "Yeah, I don't know what he was saying. I imagine it's racist. Call me like a scurril. Scum. Sound like scum. And I imagine everyone who gets one of these takeaways, they're really like, "Oh, exciting. It's been ordered by Gerard Butler." It is full of phlegm. Absolutely. Full of spit.
In all the times, you know, going back in time to when I was a student, when I phoned up an Indian restaurant and go, "Bop-a-dum," I know it's wrong.
It is.
I know that.
You have never had an uncontaminated pop-a-dum.
But I mean,
pop-a-dum has passed
it's
your lips.
It's a word I can't say without
been
doing
on
a racist
floor
accent.
Of the
I apologise. I just can't say the word without...
There's bodily fluid in every takeaway you've ever had.
I actually learnt something from this. This is my fact of the week, is that Gerard Butler has never had a crisp sandwich. There you go.
That is a good knowledge. I need to know now. How
it came back after the Walker's VT.
Of course they did.
And Alex just went, "So, apparently Gerard's never had a crisp sandwich." He'd obviously mentioned it in the VT.
Yeah.
And Alex had gone, "Journalistically, it is my duty to report that."
This is obviously turning into my man crush episode. But I once interviewed Gerard Butler for some film or other that I don't remember.
That it really is all of Gerard.
I know the one.
But I really liked it. I really liked him.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I flirted with him. I genuinely flirted with him.
Did you offer him a spit-covered poppadom?
He's never had a poppadom sandwich. But he's had it euphemistically. But I honestly flirted with him. And to the point where the rest of the team I was working with just bought me a Gerard, made me a Gerard Butler keyring, which I still have the garage keys
the
on
it. You can't buy a Gerard Butler keyring. They have to be made specially.
It. To order.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. He was really, really good. I really liked him. I don't know. Did you see Wednesday's show? That was the hour show.
So this was the thing. Most where I got to the point, right, of the... I didn't know it was an hour show, so it tricked me, right? Because the hour shows have stopped.
They have.
Since we've been doing
this.
Yeah. The beginning of it was they started on the yellow carpet outside, which was for children in need. You know, it's a carpet that's made of the hair of a shaved Pudsey or something. And it's just children in need, the Rickshaw Challenge.
He molts.
So it's natural.
So it's fine.
Emission.
It's not plastic.
It's probably is plastic. It's Matt and his fucking rickshaw of years ago. He likes running a rickshaw for children. They've raised £21 million over the last... whatever.
Again, very Partridge-y. Very, very. His fascination with rickshaws.
He loves rickshaws.
It was
on national television,
wasn't it?
The only the comment at the beginning was, "If you love rickshaws as much as I do, right?" Which is nobody.
It's amazing.
Nobody loves rickshaws. Not even you. You're just saying it because you rode one for charity.
Now, to add to all of that excitement, there is a brand new rickshaw as well, and it has been designed by a Formula One team, no less. If you love rickshaws in the same way that I do, it doesn't get any better than this. Let me tell you. Oh, it's magical.
But then they got to the guest thing, and they've got Ben Fogel on there.
Yeah.
Right, who's climbed Everest.
Love Ben Fogel.
Love Ben Fogel as well. Amazing, climbed Everest, which is something I'd love to do, so I was looking at that with envious eyes.
Well, that would be an excellent way to inspire your kids.
That's what he said.
Ben went on and on about this. Rather than go, do you know what, as a personal goal, it was something I'd always dreamed of, which he did put in.
Yeah.
But he kept on going, because as a child I was very, very shy. Yeah, it's fine. You want to climb Everest? Climb Everest. And then he began saying, well, I only climbed Everest because I wanted to inspire my children.
Yeah.
Because it was something I'd always wanted to do.
By not being there.
Well, yeah. And he mentioned
that. They were
that.
Sick of me.
He'd written a book with his wife, so it's got her point of view. But he did still sort of go, I want to do this. Instead of just going, I'm going to do it, I'll dress it up as going, this is an important thing for the kids to realise, that I am living out my dreams. So if I tell them they can be anything they want to be, if I don't do this, they'll think I'm a liar and won't respect me, so I'm leaving the family for 8 months. Now, you know, the thing that I've always said, my big dream is that I will one day briefly be married to Rihanna. Now, I am not doing that. I'm not doing that for me. Sure, I'd love to do it. I was very shy as a kid. But I need to inspire my children to realise that the things you want, you can go out and get.
Yeah, and that's Rihanna, whether she likes it or not.
It's briefly.
I mean, I'm literally talking, it can be seconds. So long as it's legally binding somewhere in the world, I will die a happy man.
There was a moment when they said to the other guest, Ruth Jones was on this episode, and also the TV vet Noel Fitzpatrick.
Super vet.
They sort of asked him what he was up to, and it got very weird at this point. He said, well, I've been going around doing my live show, but I've also been curing a sick dog. But I've been in my mum's living room projecting my show onto the wall with my mind. And they all went, what?
Yeah.
And they looked at it, and then, was it Alex on this one, I think? Just went, I'm very confused.
Yes.
And then Matt just went, well, we have an hour to get to the bottom of that. And that was when I found out, I went, oh my Christ, not an hour. So I was less at that point worried about the mind projection of a dead dog.
But he then started going in, I've invented a character called Vet Man. I did it as a kid. And he was explaining this. I was thinking, are you having a meltdown?
It was weird. Initially, when he mentioned his mum's living room bit, he said, you know, I was doing gigs in so-and-so and so-and-so, and then in my mum's living room, and then I was doing this. And Matt went, you did what in your mum's living room?
One of those great lines where he just went, oh, the tour has been going very well so far. A standing ovation every night. It's so humbling. You don't seem that humble about it.
In the Ben Fogel bit, because he did talk about how he wanted to do that, climb Everest ever since he was a kid. And then they went to Matt Baker talking about rickshaws again.
Ugh.
And he said, it's always been my ambition to make our rickshaw as adaptable as possible. which just this show of lifelong ambitions.
Yeah. By the way, that had the best handbrake turn that I saw this week.
Go on.
They were talking about this rickshaw challenge after the kids. No one will have seen this because you had to sit through 20 minutes of talking about this children in need rickshaw ride.
They
had a thing, they had the kids on. The kids are great. There were 8 of them, and they asked every single kid a question. And kids aren't like in the old days where you'd say, are you looking forward to doing the bike ride? And kids in the 80s and 90s would go, yeah. Nowadays, kids are quite media savvy. So they'll sort of go, I think it is going to be a challenge, but it's one which I'm looking forward to. It's always like being a university's admissions teacher. And it was a long segment, and they did all 8 of them.
Was it six?
It was over. That section.
I think they talked to a couple of them twice.
That section was over 20 minutes.
I know.
Yeah, it was a whopper, wasn't it?
Right at the end, they were talking about them going through the Eurotunnel, because they're starting off in France and then going up to Manchester or somewhere. And they just sort of went, oh, you know, it's going to be the tunnel. It'll be dark. You'll have to look out for each other. And Alex just went, well, let's go to our next video. Katie Tunstall, she loves a tunnel.
Well, tomorrow we'll be giving you all the details you need about how you can ride with the rickshaw. Loads of people did it last year, didn't they?
They did.
It was a big success. Yeah.
So Ben was talking about treats. Also, music is a big thing. We have Radio Rickshaw, where we'll be doing lots of singing and this, that and the other. And this is quite an interesting one of where to sing, because there's a bit of a tunnel connection here.
Yeah, Katie Tunstall loves a tunnel.
And Matt,
yes,
Matt just laughed, just going, oh, and his laugh was one of just going, well, we've really fucking hit the bottom there. Not even attempting. Oh, no.
This is as far as I got in that episode. So I got to 20 past seven, and you're right, it was all, you know, it was the vet and Fogel and Everest and all that. Yeah, fine, and I'm into Everest, so very interesting. And then they went to the rickshaw. And there was a film of Matt having the rickshaw made by the team at McLaren. Ugh. So it's a... Oh, God. And I think... I'll just say this now. I think he's pretending about his love for rickshaw. No one loves rickshaws as much as Matt appears to.
It's so boring. I can almost think he really does like it.
But that... But I watched that. I watched a film about TripAdvisor.
Oh, yeah.
A film where... in the TripAdvisor film where a man in a gastropub said he'd had a fake review on TripAdvisor that said that someone had written, I had a lovely meal, but then I was stabbed outside.
That was Maisie Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone's watched the one show. And then I was like, and then that, you're right, because the kids came on to talk about, bless the kids.
Yeah.
Six or eight.
They were great.
Whatever it was.
The kids
I'm sure they were great, but I did fast forward it, right? Yeah. I just went, I just zoned out.
The kids aren't responsible for bad TV.
No. And I came back and I stopped, right? And the first thing I heard when I pressed play again was, Katie Tunstall loves a tunnel. And I had no context for that, and it was my favourite moment.
What a film this was. Do you remember a few weeks ago, there was one where they just went, we're going to talk to Rachel Koo about where she used to go on holiday as a kid, and then it ended. I mean, it was mental. This one was just, we're going to a castle with Katie Tunstall, and she will just get to talk to us for 3 minutes about what a brilliant performer she is. And that's what happened.
And we'll make her play her first single from 10 years ago three times.
Yes, they did. They did.
And nothing else
there
she's ever written.
There was one lovely shot where she was playing in like an old dungeon in a castle. Yes. And I really, really wanted to pull out to see like a prisoner on the wall just going, finally you've broken me. Whatever you need, just get her to stop.
But the intro to it was so confusing that I spent most of the thing going, right, is this piece about the song? Is it about Katie Tunstall? Are we still on the rickshaws and then it's going to come back round? I don't understand what this is.
There was a really good video afterwards. I don't know if you saw it, but even the title of it, you'll go, I'm going to watch this. It was called March of the Pufflings.
Then yes, I am.
It was.
Did they play Suddenly I See You? Otherwise, I'm not interested.
It was set in the Shetlands. Suddenly I See You.
Of course it was.
They had these little baby puffins that have to get to the water. Every year, the baby puffins make it to the water. And this year, there was a reporter from the one show in the way, and he was filming the pufflings in infrared at night and just going, they don't even know we're here. They do know you're there. You know, you're
Sorry,
six
was,
foot
this tall. A, was this a sleepover? We're filming again. But this time it's pufflings. Yeah. I want to bring it back to Al Murray. Now, we sort of touched on this earlier, but I figure that we're getting towards the end, and I'd like to... I don't want to talk about this. I don't know if you probably saw the Al Murray.
I did see the Al Murray episode.
So I don't want to talk about it. I think what I want is for us all to listen to it. We talk about films and they're obsessed with fish. And pufflings.
Pufflings,
and
yes.
All the rest
Fish
of it.
Connection.
Yeah, let's go and film somewhere near water. So they used the beluga whale as an excuse to go and do a little film. They got a BBC cameraman there, and he got exclusive access for the one show, I think, where Richard Taylor Jones was his name, and he's filming this thing. And then they came back off that, and this was my handbrake turn of the week. It was about a bloke in Cornwall who could analyse the sound of the whale and tell whether it was happy or not, which the nation has been talking about. Is the whale content? Is it feeding correctly in the Thames, where it really is 1,500 miles away from its home in the Arctic? A bloke in Cornwall said, yeah, it's fine. Look, I've got it. It seems to be hunting correctly. So they came then back to the studio where Al Murray had been talking about his programme or reasons that we hate everybody, everyone hates the English. Then they said, well, another reason to not hate the English is that we've got our own beluga whale.
Suddenly popular.
Yeah. Suddenly I see a beluga whale. But then Al Murray did an impression of a whale. This is what it sounded like. No pictures! No pictures! Leave me alone! Where I'm laughing!
lost.
The poor fella.
Now, when I was at school, that was Joey Deacon. Right. And he's just done that on the telly. So, in a week of knife-stabbing demonstrations, there's now an offensive Joey Deacon impression. Al Murray, we love you. We know you, Al, and we like you a lot. But that was fantastic. It was the highlight for me of Al Murray taking a few minutes on national television to just go,
if you'd have turned the television on.
Just, exactly. At that moment. And just gone, what the fuck is going
Good
on?
God. I mean, these alternative comedians, what a week it's been for them.
All they needed was Sean Walsh to come on and get off with everybody.
Apologise for the beluga whale being in the canal.
He's gaslighted a whale.
Man, that whale is probably feeding very well at the bottom of the Thames, but it's probably just feeding on discarded handguns.
From a previous week. Yeah,
they're going to lift it up and it's going to shoot a bullet out so big that Big Ben is going to fall over. I live in a cartoon.
And then Gerard Butler will come and save London. Oh no, that was the other one. It wasn't Gerard Butler.
This is not the worst film.
Was it Gerard? Was that Gerard Butler?
I think one of them was.
London Falling? Is that Butler?
That's Butler.
Excellent. They're not tied in better than I thought.
Wow, has actually named a real Gerard Butler film. They said it would never happen.
Any other business?
I was very keen on the Supervet episode when he talks about his live show. I don't know how that works, but I presume they just get a load of well animals and then they have to smash them up beforehand. And then he goes, oh, this rabbit's got a really nasty broken leg. But Ruth Jones said to him, if you're a vet, could you be a doctor? And he was saying, yes. I thought this was a great fact. But he said, yes, I could, he said, because you can consent. He said, a doctor can't do veterinary medicine on an animal because an animal cannot consent to have a doctor work on them. It would have to be a vet. But as a human, you could consent to having a vet work on you. So I'd be allowed to treat humans, but doctors can't treat animals. But anyway, long story short, my mum broke her leg and super vet shot her.
And what a place to end. by the way, there should be a mention in Dispatches. Excellent tweet that we got that we missed a trick. In last week's edition, we were talking about a Mancunian version of Blade Runner.
Yeah, due to the fact that the evil cyborg in that is called Roy Batty, which sounds like he's in Corrie.
Well, Stephen Fuster on Twitter, he pointed out a missed opportunity, which we did miss. And it was so good, it's worth mentioning. We were talking about quotes, and he said it should have been attack ships on fire off the shoulders of our Ryan.
Very good. Worth mentioning, I had a chat with Carrie last week, and Carrie listened to last week's and made an exciting discovery.
Yeah, you were talking about Oleg Gordievsky last week. I didn't see the one show last week, so I missed the Oleg Gordievsky bit. But he was a mate of my dad's, and I'd been round his house.
What?
Yeah. He had a sauna in his house, and I was sort of early adolescence, and I was a bit too shy to go in the sauna. So everyone else who was round at dinner went to the sauna, and I just had a chat with Oleg in the kitchen while he was doing dinner.
So this is Oleg, the Russian double agent?
He's the highest ranking KGB Russian man. KGB officer ever to defect.
And you have now become a target, because you're one of the few people who know where he is.
I absolutely no idea where it was. I fell asleep in the back of the car. Or did I? Was I knocked out?
Worth saying, Carrie is winking there. So if you are a member of that terrifying Russian Secret Service, you know whose door handle to start lathering up with a brand new toxin.
Oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
Carrie Quinlan, thank you very much.
You're indeed. Very welcome.
Mark, usual.
Cheers, John.
If you've a moment to review and comment, as indeed we had some reviews and comments. We had a particular one this week, actually, didn't we? From a one-star review.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. That's right.
This was
excellent. Raider Fra on October the 5th.
Oh, they hate everything.
It is titled Pretentious Prats.
Yeah.
The absolute sense of importance and arrogance of the presenters in this podcast defies belief.
Hello.
I expected it to provide a humorous slant on the one show. Instead, they present a snide tirade, much of which completely misses the point of the one show. It was such a tiresome listen, I gave up after one episode. It just isn't funny.
I mean, it's not unfair, though, is it?
No, no. I mean, it's just as well that he's not listening.
It reads like a two-star.
And it's paid for by TripAdvisor.
It's just as well. Yeah. In fairness, it is just as well that this person isn't listening, because they would not like this section.
No.
Because I'm calling them a twat.
Rate and review. Even if it's that, we don't care.
I mean, clearly you guys care a bit.
Oh, yes, yeah. Don't think that for one moment I don't know how many five-star reviews we've got. 53.
Okay, keep them coming. But whatever you do, remember this. When you look at the television to look at the one show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.